Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Wanted to read through the Bible and spend a year focusing on your family? Well, good news, guys. There's a Bible that does both. It is called the 1 Year Pray for the Family Bible, written by Jim Daly with Focus on the Family, and it's available now. I think you're going to really like it. The text is accurate and understandable, and the New Living Translation allows you to have enjoyable and engaging reading experience with God's Word. It's also paired with intentional prayer prompts that are created by Focus on the Family, and it brings the needs of family to the throne of God. It also includes 365 daily prayer prompts to help you pray for your family and for the institution of family itself. We know raising families is tough right now, and you'll hear from experts like Dr. Tony Evans, Robin Jones Gunn, and much more. Each month, there's a different prayer focused on life, families to know God's love, for the broken families, for marriages, second chances, children in school, and on and on. The 1 Year Pray for the Family Bible is a great Bible study to use for yourself, for you and your spouse, or in small groups, or maybe as an entire church. You guys could go through it together. It's a great resource, and it is intended to deepen our relationships with God and the families He has given us. I'm so pumped about this episode, and mostly because I get to tell you about a new resource that we pulled together that is free. Isn't that neat? I'm not telling y'all to go buy a book this time, but really, I felt so strongly about this that I approached Christian Parenting about a digital resource on technology because there's so much to get through. We couldn't even scratch the surface if we tried in 30 minutes. So today's a great conversation with Titania from Bark, and we talk about phones, we talk about safety, we talk about so many things that literally just scratch the surface of why this is such a big deal in parents, and especially Christian parents. But I thought we're just going to leave y'all hanging. And so I know for me, for years, I would get so overwhelmed with all the decisions and all the parental controls and all the conversations at school about phones and devices and shows and all of it, social media, that I would put my head in the sand and just keep marching forward and praying that my kids would make it out on the other side. And I'm not recommending that approach. I'm just saying if you've got little ones, babies and toddlers into elementary, into high school, this technology resource is for you. We're calling it Technology Simplified. It's a mini digital guide to technology. And so we have gone through the entire network of Christian Parenting and compiled videos and articles and podcasts, things we've already done as a network to help you with this process. And again, we're not solving it. We're not going to give you a step one, two, three, do this and your kids will turn out okay. But it is important for us to get, you know, some of us are very into it and maybe we're extreme and we just have them completely locked out of technology. Some of us, on the other hand, which I would probably lean more towards, is probably just like, it's too overwhelming. I'm just going to give them whatever they want within reason and hope they turn out okay. And that's not a good idea either. So let's walk this line of moderation and let's talk about these things together. And your decision might be different than your neighbor's and your convictions might be different than your sister's. And I will say a lot of the most heated people that I hear from are like, I am never going to do that. I'm never going to let my kid have social media. I'm never going to let my kid have a phone. They don't have kids the age yet. So it's like, it's one thing to say it when they're four and have some goals. Perfect. But when you get into those middle school years and you have actual human beings that you're parenting and they're trying to reach out to their small group leaders or they're trying to reach out to their friends in a group text, it gets really tricky. So just hang in there. Don't tune this out because it's hard. I pray that you'll be encouraged by the episode. You will learn some more with Titania's wisdom and all that they've learned through Bark. And then you will take advantage of this new resource that we're offering. So you can go to christianparenting.org. Make sure I get it right. Okay. christianparenting.org/technology-guide. Let me say it again, christianparenting.org/technology-guide. And we're going to have this linked in all the show notes, and I'm sure I'll be posting about it on social media so you can find it there. But what we're not charging anything is simply a compilation of all the things that Christian Parenting has written on the subject, all the podcasts we have on the subject, and you can kind of filter through and see which one is needed at this stage of your parenting. All you'll do is enter your email and your name, and we will give you an email back with a guide, a PDF that you can download, share with your friends. Y'all talk about it in small groups. We really want this to be just the most helpful guide as you try to wade through some of these difficult waters. See what I did there? Wave through the waters. But it is. It's complex. It's overwhelming. And every kid is different. But it is scary to be kind of parenting from something new in our generation. Is like, how do we deal with all these apps? And how do we deal with all the pressures and all the bullying and all the very, very scary things out there? But also hold to that there's good stuff. There's good, good stuff that comes from technology. I mean, look at us. We're podcasting. We're talking to people all over the world and getting to do that from our phones and computers. So lots of good stuff to come. I hope you're blessed by it. I hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Seriously, give us feedback. If there's an area that we missed or things you want to hear more about in the technology area, we will certainly try to get more guests on because I know that's a hot topic for all of you. All right. Enjoy my interview with Titania. Hey, Titania, welcome to Pardon the Mess. Did I get your name pronunciation right? Please say yes.
You nailed it. Yep.
Okay, yay. We just established that I'm from Atlanta and you're in Atlanta. So what about that traffic? What have you been sitting in lately?
Oh, well, I do not travel during high traffic times. So,
which used to be like 3 to 6. And now it's like, if you're not on the road by noon, you're sitting, right?
Yeah. So basically I run all my errands at 2 a.m. And that's how I do it.
That's amazing. Now, is Bark headquartered there or are they from another
town? Yes. Yeah, Bark's headquartered in Atlanta.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your family and a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, clearly, we are dog people.
Yes, you are.
This is Rocky, our Australian Shepherd. We also have another dog, Chloe. She didn't make the wall, but she knows why. So there's that. And that's the fur babies. I have Baby, who's no longer a baby. He's a teenager, a 14-year-old son, freshman in high school. And wow.
Yes.
I'm glad that we are talking today.
Yes, it is new. As you know, I've got two teenagers. They're both in high school now. And it is, no one told me about 16. So I had in my mind, like high school was a big milestone. And then I had in my head, like 18, like she'll go to college. But 16, they just drive away. Like they literally drive away. And I cried so hard the first day. And then the second day I'm like, can you get me a rotisserie chicken and a McFlurry?
That's amazing. So,
it is very, very helpful, but it is daunting that you're like, man, I hope I taught them to tip and to not run someone off the road because they're just little adults. It's crazy.
I know it's, there is no shortage of teachable moments.
Yeah.
But I'm also trying to be wise with when I talk and when I listen, and it's, hope I'm getting it right.
I know. I bet you are. I bet you're killing it. All right. I have so many questions for you. So we're going to dive in, and I have to start with a confession. So how long has Bark been around?
Since July of 2015.
Okay. I was probably one of the early adopters that downloaded it. Never activated. Like I got stumped on some password and then I was like, forgot. Fast forward like this year as they're in high school, which is so embarrassing. I'm like, okay, we got to get that going. Got stumped again. I forgot to get with that on one of them. So part of this conversation, and I talk about it in the intro, I feel like a fraud because there's so many things I feel like I've done well. This is an area where I really, really struggle. And I've got girls that are super convincing. So they probably have more social media than the quote Christian parent would like me to have. But so I think there's other parents out there that are like on one extreme where they're crippled with fear, which is opposite of me. They're just locked down, no devices. And then there's me that trends towards head in the sand, pray, hope they don't have some weird addictions. So can you talk to all of us that are somewhere on that scale? How would you encourage us?
I would say that no matter where you fall on that spectrum, good news is that you're not alone because I, everyone listening, we are the first generation of parents that have ever had to parent in a world like this.
Yeah.
We can't ask our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, our uncles, you know, how they handled XYZ situation because they never did.
Yeah.
So it's not just parents that are struggling. It's pediatricians, therapists, school administrators, and tech executives at the social media companies. We're all figuring this out in real time. So you're doing a good job, sweetie, to everyone, whatever
you're doing. We're listening to this podcast, so that's a win.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's start with what's helpful because technology isn't all bad. So let's remind ourselves, like, what are some things that technology does for us as parents, as individuals, and I mentioned a couple. It allows us to communicate with each other, you know, FaceTime grandparents. Also safety. I love that I can track my kids and know where they are, you know, which is maybe at some point I got to let go of that. But any others that you think of that technology does for good for us or helpful?
Yeah. I mean, whether it's connecting or collaborating or creating, or competing, you know, there's healthy competitions, Rocket League at high schools, for example. There are so many, and they're all C words, didn't plan that, but there's so many ways that tech, because it's a tool, tech is neither good nor bad, it's a tool. And you can use tools to build things and do great things, but also tools can sometimes be dangerous.
Yeah, let's go there. I think, you know, I never want to create fear in people, but it's just good for us to remember that this is harming ourselves. Yes. Like I know if I don't do guidelines or what are they called? Screen time on myself, like I am apt to scroll for days. So what are some of those harmful things even for us and for our kids as well?
Before I even get into those, I'd like to just start with an analogy because you mentioned you don't like fear, but there is a healthy amount of fear, right?
Yeah.
It's why we put seatbelts on before we get in the car.
Yeah.
That's a healthy amount of fear. We lock our doors. We have carbon monoxide detectors. We wear sunscreen, hopefully, usually most of the time. There's certain things we do that are preventative, right? And with our kids spending upwards of 8 hours a day online, more of their day online than not, of their waking hours at least, we've got to be parenting in that proactive way as well in their digital world. Because the rate at which children, not just teenagers, children are experiencing the worst content, the worst people, the worst that humanity has to offer is off the charts.
Yeah.
We have an annual report. I'll send it to you. You can link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Of just the rate at which children are experiencing things like bullying and sexual content, predation, mental health issues, violence, all of it. And it's not a low percentage. So whether or not you think it's your child, please think again. Good kids make bad choices. And sometimes oftentimes they're not even looking for this stuff,
right?
But because of algorithms and suggested content, it comes across their plate.
Right. Oh gosh, which is so hard to imagine if that had been me at 14, would I have had the maturity and the, you know, self-control to turn something off? No. And we're expecting our kids just to look the other way, which isn't reality.
Or report, right? Yeah. You know, I'm jumping ahead to some action steps, but
yeah, let's do it.
If you see something in your feed that makes you feel bad, maybe it's making you fall into that comparison trap of I'm not enough, or it's violent, or somebody is bullying either you or somebody else, please take the time to report it. You can anonymously report. You know, the Instagram isn't going to let that person know, hey, Johnny just said you were being a bully. It's anonymous, and it can help to take those bad actors down, and it helps to curate your feed. So because they want you to spend more time in their app. So if you're telling them what you do and do not want to see, they appreciate that and they will listen.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I feel when I listen to conversations like this, I feel so overwhelmed because there's so much out there. And one thing I'd love to encourage people, maybe you probably agree, but there's age-appropriate conversations and resources. So what you're telling your 4-year-old and 6-year-old is not what you're talking to your 14-year-old. So what encouragement do you have there about the age and spectrum of the information?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, because so much of effective parenting in a tech world comes down to the relationship that you have with your child, which means constant conversations, age-appropriate ones. So let's just talk about the topic of strangers or predators, right?
Right.
For a 4 or 5-year-old, that conversation looks very different than a 14 or 15-year-old. And so for a younger child, it's, hey, did you know that whenever you're playing games online, much like I tell you in real life at the park, like, don't talk to strangers, you also need to be careful not to talk to tricky people online. Mm. And there's tricky people online that will sometimes seem really nice. They'll be complimenting you. They might send you some in-game currency so you can, you know, play more games. They might send you gifts, give you compliments. But then they start to ask questions, personal questions, like, what's your name? How old are you? Where do you live? Where do you go to school? And that might seem nice and like they're trying to build a friendship, but that's actually a big red flag. And you didn't do anything wrong. You're not in trouble, but you need to let mom and dad know if that happens. So tricky people. Now, when they're 14 and 15, you really should be more blunt and relate it to something that's happening to kids their age. For example, hey, I just saw that the FBI released a report about the staggering increase in sextortion cases amongst children your age. Have you heard of anybody ever being contacted by somebody and maybe threatened if they didn't send them pictures or videos that they would harm their family? Because gosh, if that ever happens to you, please tell me. Like, you're not in trouble, but we've got to take action.
Yeah. I think that's a big piece of why, and I think back to when I was young, just reasons I didn't want to tell my parents about something. It's just fear, like fear that I did something wrong. And so I love that conversation to give them permission to always tell me, I can help you. You're not in trouble, that kind of thing. So good. Yes. So good. Okay. Let's talk about BARC. So for those of the folks listening that don't know, how did it begin and where is it right now?
So I'll start with the why and how. I wish it was my idea. That would have been amazing. With my marketing degree and non-computer science degree, that would have been truly, truly an act of God. But our CEO, Brian Basin, who is a dad of two, has had an amazing career in tech and social media, brilliant, brilliant mind and great human. He was working at Twitter at the time because Twitter had acquired his last startup. And his oldest son was given a device that could access the internet. And Brian, given what he knew about tech, working at a social media company, realized the lack of good options for keeping his own son safer online. And then quickly went down that rabbit hole of, if I'm not happy with the current landscape and struggling, how much more so are other parents that don't know as much as I do about tech and social media? So he took a big risk, left Twitter, started BARC July 2015. And I'm so thankful he did, as are close to 7 million children across the globe who now are better protected online.
That's amazing. And so what are some of the ways that it works, or how does it work?
Sure. Yeah. So we started with artificial intelligence. I know that's like such a buzzword right now, but it's basically, it's a computer analyzing children's devices, text, social media, email. And then when it detects a problem, either context or content, it will send the parent or caregiver an alert saying, hey, we've detected a possible bullying situation on, let's say, Instagram. Here's what you need to know, and here's how to talk to your kid. So we started with alerts and analysis and alerts and next steps. We then evolved to offering screen time and filtering and location tracking features, because parents like me want something all in one, right? We don't have to use multiple tools if we don't have to. We then started to offer our services that we were for families to schools. So now any school in the United States can use our tech for free, which is incredible, because these things are happening on school issued devices and accounts. And then finally, because our company keeps growing, thank you, God, we launched a safer smartphone for kids holiday season last year. And that has really taken off. Not that more kids need more smartphones or earlier than they're getting them already. But if and when it is time for your child to be able to text or call or safely browse the internet or safely use apps, we now have an option that is, I believe, the safest, best option for them.
Well, and for the kids, I saw that it looks like a cool phone. So they're not like carrying around their toddler phone.
This is it. Like, this is my iPhone, and this is the BARC phone. And they're like, you know, it doesn't look like a kid phone. It's just a phone. Because it is
great. And it's working. I've heard you talk about some of the things that you guys are, the data that you're seeing. Tell us some of the wins and the success stories that you're seeing.
Wow. Well, it's it's a success, but it comes with a heavy heart. You know, for example, every single day at Bark, we're escalating between 85 and 100 severe self-harm or suicidal ideation alerts. So children who are struggling, and thankfully we're able to get that issue in front of somebody who can and help them and save a life. We have detected millions of severe bullying situations. Wow. We have escalated credible school shooting and violent threats to law enforcement. We've escalated over 1,200 predators to law enforcement.
Wow.
And then the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's like I said, it comes with a heavy heart, but thankful to be a part of a company that is making this kind of impact.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It is incredible. And I think as a parent, part of my head in the sand is I get so overwhelmed. It's like, you can't stay on top of it. You can't stay on top of the number of apps. Like, there's literally no way. And I think you've said that before. It's impossible as a parent to track 100%. Like, you can sneak in their phones at night, but you will not be able to track that. So any encouragement there with parents that are like, well, I'll just do this, you know,
If you, I mean, gosh, I'm such an analogy person. I'm like now likening this to overall health and wellness, right? It's about consistency. You know, you don't just go on a crash diet for a week and think all your problems are solved. You try to make good choices. You try to move your body, try to get enough rest, try to get enough hydration. Same thing with parenting in the tech world. You don't just go on a rampage and like lock everything down and think you're good, right?
Yeah.
If you can just do one small thing a day, maybe that's a conversation starter that doesn't have a yes or no answer. You know, like, who'd you sit with at lunch today? Or what's something interesting that you saw on YouTube lately? You know, it's conversations. It's doing some research. You know, whatever you do after you stop listening or watching to this, please do not let your children have unfettered, unmonitored, unfiltered access to tech in the home. There are so many options that you can take, and you don't have to do it all at once, all in one day, but maybe once a day, just think, okay, what does my child access? Okay, we have a smart television, and that smart television has Netflix on it. Let me go to Google and Google Netflix parental controls so I can make sure my four-year-old isn't stumbling across certain things on that platform, right? And then the next day or the next week, say, okay, my kid uses the family iPad. Okay, that's Apple. What are Apple's family options? Does Apple have screen time and that sort of thing? They do. Cool. Oh, and it's free? Great. Let me figure out how to set some implementations up. If your child is on social media, you know, please don't let them have it all at once. Please don't let them have it before the age of 13. And even then, sometimes that's still too young.
Yeah.
And don't let your children access games and apps that you have not yet navigated yourself.
Right.
Spend some time with them. Sit beside them. Let them teach you how to use them. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to do on a Saturday night? Play Roblox or Minecraft? Maybe not. But you'll be bonding with your kid and you'll be engaged in a way that a lot of parents aren't taking the time to do, and their kids are struggling as a result. I could go on, but I'm going to pause because I've been talking a lot.
No, that's really, really, really helpful. And I think one of the tools that I used, and I don't know if this is the right answer, but contracts, when they got their first like iTouch, is that the name of it? It was like one of their very first kind of versions of the phone, but it was just a good conversation to say like, I did buy this for you and here are some parameters. Like, we're going to use it to encourage people, not take people down. We're going to use it to communicate. We're not going to, you know, so some of the like why you have a phone, and if it's mainly for safety. So if you don't answer the phone or you don't respond to us in a timely manner, like, we're getting it back kind of thing. And, you know, I haven't stuck with that for years, but it was a good baseline conversation of like, what is the purpose of the device? And I think I swiped, do y'all have any? I swiped one online through Orange, but y'all have
absolutely
some?
Yeah. There's plenty of them out there. We have one as well. Free family tech contract. So important. I'm glad you brought that up. To print it out and go over it with your kid, you know, at 8 years old, that will be much more receptive to it than 17. Might get some eye rolls at that point. But yeah, go over, you know, this is a tool and it's a very, very powerful tool. And here's what we will and what we will not do with this tool.
Yeah.
It's very important and a wonderful exercise. Another really easy free tip and a powerful one is please don't let connected tech behind closed doors in bedrooms overnight. Make sure these encounters are happening in common spaces. It's good advice for us adults too.
Yes.
Don't charge your phone beside your bed. And I do that every night. So
I know, me too.
My own advice, but your kids definitely, they don't need their devices in their bedroom. They've got to sleep for their mental health.
That's another area I bombed on. I heard it and then I didn't follow the, but I would highly, my friends have done it, said, once you do it earlier, they said it's not such a huge deal. Like the kids just get used to it and it's a habit. Another one I wish I had done is a main computer in the open space. So they would use the excuse, well, I've got to do my homework. I've got to do my homework. And so they would take a laptop or something to their room or away from everybody. And I'm like, man, I wish I'd invested in a family computer. So it's like, oh, great. Do your, and then you're monitoring what's going on. So invest in that. I wish I'd done that earlier for sure.
Yes. Yes. Learn from our mistakes.
That's right. That's
I've made all of them.
Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Have you ever wanted to read through the Bible and spend a year focusing on your family? Well, good news, guys. There's a Bible that does both. It is called the 1 Year Pray for the Family Bible, written by Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. And it's available now. I think you're going to really like it. The text is accurate and understandable, and the New Living Translation allows you to have enjoyable and engaging reading experience with God's Word. It's also paired with intentional prayer prompts that are created by Focus on the Family, and it brings the needs of family to the throne of God. It also includes 365 daily prayer prompts to help you pray for your family and for the institution of family itself. We know raising families is tough right now, and you'll hear from experts like Dr. Tony Evans, Robin Jones Gunn, and much more. Each month, there's a different prayer focused on life, families to know God's love, for the broken families, for marriages, second chances, children in school, and on and on. The 1 Year Pray for the Family Bible is a great Bible study to use for yourself, for you and your spouse, or in small groups, or maybe as an entire church. You guys could go through it together. It's a great resource, and it is intended to deepen our relationships with God and the families He has given us. Okay, I have a business idea for you, and we can cut this later if you're working on it, but I have been begging people way smarter than me for years to do like a Geek Squad vans that are bark, and they show up at your house. And they get all the people like me and all the, you know, iPads on the table, and they don't let you stop at the password stump. They're like, okay, let's figure out your password and let's, because it is overwhelming for us marketing folks. We're like, I'm so lost. So can y'all do that? Like just show up, a house visit. I would have paid anything for someone to just show up and spend 2 hours with me. And we just put all the stuff on the table and you walk it through. Because like 3 clicks in, I'm so lost and I want to throw it across the room. So are y'all working on that? Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's my dream. that's my dream. And TBD.
Okay.
But in the meantime, the amazing team at Bark, we have such a wonderful, helpful, kind team. if you reach out to them, help@bark.us. Now it might take some time because there's a lot of people who need help, but they will walk you through like, hey, we're not going to let you get stuck here. We're going to help you get to where you need to go. So our team at Bark will help you get Bark set up and get some other settings in place so that you're not just sit there frustrated, you know, stuck at a password prompt.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said not everything at once. And I think parenting is like that, like you, the rope analogy, we let the rope out. And for me, and I know that you are a fan of this, I've never said it's because I don't trust you. It's because I'm protecting you. And as you get older, but there is a trust factor. Like if they have been honest, if they have used it wisely, then I'm apt to give them something else. So talk to us about that. Is that there? Because you don't want them to go into college at 18 and freaking out like they've never had a unfiltered phone and they're like, ah! So what is that rope analogy for you? And do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with it. I think if you keep your child incredibly sheltered and then all of a sudden they're just given access to everything, that's going to be pretty abrupt. And you won't have the luxury of having them in your home to talk about and guide with the speed bumps that come along.
Yeah.
In fact, talking about like bumps and roads and stuff, there's a great analogy. I think it was Sandra Stanley maybe who said this, so I can't take credit for it. But, you know, our job as parents isn't to remove every boulder in our child's path. Mm. It's to help them navigate the rocky path ahead because life is not a smooth road. Yeah. And that includes social media and internet usage and addiction and just getting up and being physically active and not sitting for multiple hours a day consuming content. There's so many things. And so it's little by little, it's extending that rope. It's, you know, let's make these mistakes and have these learning opportunities while you're still in the home.
That's right.
Where we can support you.
By the way, I love your analogies. I'm a visual learner, so these are great. And I'll remember them. And it's a story. I'm like, yes, Boulder, locked in. Got it. Okay. Okay, let's talk about AI real quick. It's a buzzword. And I think for parents that are clueless, we're like, help is taking over the world. They're going to ruin our children. So talk real quickly, if you can, about how can we understand that from, again, helpful, harmful, and that it's both, right?
Yes. So it's education. For example, I saw on Entertainment Tonight last night, Tom Hanks is apparently upset and telling everybody there's this commercial now out about him endorsing some teeth whitening product. That's not him. Somebody took his face and used a visual AI generator to create a whole teeth whitening commercial with Tom Hanks that isn't actually him.
Wow.
Right? So just knowing that that is possible now, you know, we've heard, hopefully you've heard, you know, the stories of where people are getting phone calls and it sounds like their relative, but it's not. It's AI voice generated. So having a plan, you know, if you ever get a phone call, like what's the password? What's the word so I know it's actually you and not a machine? Mm. How can we use artificial intelligence to help us, another Andy Stanley reference, go further, faster, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're stuck on how to word a fun birthday invitation. You can go to ChatGPT and type in, you know, I'm having a 40th birthday party that's rock and roll themed. Can you help me write a really fun party invite? And they will crank it out for you. And you don't have to copy it. You can, but then that can prompt you and spur you and help you. But at the same time, AI can also be used, you know, in bad ways, again, to impersonate, to bully,
to write papers that you didn't write.
to cheat. We're not doing that. That is not what we're doing. So just being aware, it's out there. That ship has sailed. And so let's use it to help us be more efficient. But let's not use it to do actions that are detrimental to our moral compass or to hurt others.
Yeah. I imagine there's settings for that too on different social media or different platforms. Are they there yet with turning it off?
It's too new. It's too new. I mean, honestly, let's take Snapchat, for example. You know, they have this My AI chatbot inside of the app, you know, trying to build relationships with the kids that are in there. And it's not okay. It's incorrect information. And it's, I think that's a irresponsible use of AI that you might not even know your kids have access to, right? So tread with caution, educate yourself as much as you can, but it's essentially just like cars get you places faster than horses did. Like AI is accelerating the way in which the world works. So get familiar, but be careful.
Yeah. Okay. So good. All right. For the parent like me, or maybe some listening, they're like, I have screwed up so bad. So talk to us about, is it too late? You know, wherever you are on the spectrum, how can we take the exact age of our kids? And I think you mentioned it earlier, but take baby steps forward.
Yeah.
And just not sit in the shame and then turn it off and go feel bad. Like, what can we do one day at a time?
Yeah. Well, I am an eternal optimist. And so it's never too late. I firmly believe it's never too late. Can you go back and change things? No. Can you learn from your mistakes? Yes. Can you be vulnerable with your children and let them know, like, hey, when you were younger, I used to let YouTube babysit you. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could go back and change that. And I'm so sorry, because that probably gave you a higher propensity to want to, you know, binge watch stuff on a screen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't change that. But what we are going to do as a family is make healthier choices, understand the relationship that screens and tech have with our brains and how it stimulates the addictive pleasure center of our brains. And we're going to just try to introduce some balance into our life. You know, be vulnerable to your kids, own the mistakes you made, but remind them that's not a blocker to progress, right? Yeah. We all make mistakes, but we can learn from them and then make better choices. And your job as a parent is to love and protect in real life and online. And you're not going to get it right all the time, but if you work just a little bit every single day, your kids will know that they are loved and protected and you will be in a better spot. And I'll also say, just understand, like, you're not alone and give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
I'm going to shamelessly plug this Facebook group called Parenting in a Tech World because it's close to 400,000 members now. And I started it many years ago when my son was probably 9 years old because I needed help with it.
Right.
I needed help parenting in a tech world and I was in tech. So if you're struggling with anything, go there, ask the question, check the archives, search for those issues, because we've been there, we've done it, learn from our mistakes.
And is that the name of your book? You have a book, right?
Yes. Okay. Matt McKee and I co-authored a book called Parenting in a Tech World. Because again, there was no manual. So we tried to create one for what we wish we would have had.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'll link to that. That is awesome.
You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
One of the things that I have hesitated on doing this episode for so long, because part shame, but also because I think people want a number. They want me to say, have the phone at this age, have the social media at this age, and they almost give themselves permission. Well, if Courtney did it, then it's safe for my kids. And that's a lot of pressure on that's one person, but it's not accurate. Like, I think every kid is different. Every family is different. And so how do you guys at BARC combat that? Like, I loved what you said, like, not before 13, but hopefully later. And Sissy Goff says, don't let them be the first in the class to get the device. Don't let them be the last, close to the last. Are there other age comments you would say about us wanting that so desperately?
Yes. Again, I'll reiterate, like, if you do want a number, like, not before 13, when it comes to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now that BARC has a safer smartphone option, I used to tell people, don't let kids have smartphones before 13 either. Mm-hmm. Now that I am very close to a safer smartphone, I think it's okay. But as long as you're a proactive parent and making mm-hmm. sure they don't have it in the bedroom at night, you've enabled the protections, because kids want the ability to text parents. Parents want the ability to text and video chat with their kids. And again, tech can be a really great tool. So you need to look at what is the ability that you need. When your child's coming to you and they say, I really want a smartphone. Okay, cool. Why? What is it that you're looking to do with that device that you can't already do with the things that you already have access to? And you take it on a case-by-case basis. And you let that rope out a little bit at a time and grow with them. You also need to understand your child's mental health state, right?
Mm.
Every child is different, and certain platforms can be very detrimental to children who maybe have a higher propensity for anxiety, depression, eating disorders, etc. So know your child, trust your gut. As my friend Chris McKenna says, delay is the way.
Yeah.
I've never heard a parent ever, not once, say, I waited too long for anything. Never, not once. But on the flip side, I think you and I and a million parents can say, like, we did XYZ too soon. I wish we could change that.
Well, and I think that boundaries are what the kids need, but they're never going to ask for them. And it's loving to put them. And I think part of the reason for me and maybe my friends, we don't want to put them in because it makes our kids unhappy. Like, and we like, it can't be the goal. So it's like, if they're not our friends and we're being their parent, they are going to bump up against it. But there have been cases where kids come back and say, can you put that restriction on again? Because if they're honest, they know that they need it and they need a parent to be a parent, right?
Gosh, that is hitting me in the gut, because I can think of a few very specific examples where I have prioritized my son being happy or happy with me versus what's best for him.
Yeah.
We don't always get it right.
Yeah. It's tough.
But it is very important to be their parent first, because later is longer. You can be their friend for a very long time, but you need to get it right.
Yeah. One other caution I would give people that I was watching this week, you know, when they're little, you're like, I would never, you know, when they're in first grade, you're like, my kid won't have a phone till they're 23, or like, I won't let them have snacks in the grocery store. And then you have a toddler and you're like throwing goldfish around the grocery store. So same thing. I think middle school, I don't know if it's the same in Atlanta, we're in Texas, but middle school is where the pressure started getting high, just as far as social chatting. Like, I was trying to hold strong as much as I could. I think Larson got a phone maybe 7th, 8th grade. And I had all kinds of goals to wait longer, but just know that's coming and be prepared for it. And I have a friend that locked arms with her group of guys in their school and the parents, and they made a pact together so that the kid wasn't the only one, which I think is a great strategy. But just know, beware, middle school. Yeah. Do you feel like that's the same time when the pressure gets high on the phone?
Not just that. I'm like leaning in. I'm like,
get close to me. People,
like, listen to me.
I love it. I mean, this is the clip we're using. Get
please pay attention. You know, before kids even get smartphones, they're using the family iPad to, you know, create their own iCloud account and message with other kids. And bullying and unkind words are very prevalent in even like 3rd, 4th, 5th grade.
Wow.
There's, you know, I go and I speak at schools across the country, and I have so many principals tell me, like, we have a tech bullying problem in the 3rd, 4th, 5th grade. And these kids don't even have smartphones yet. And parents are like, but wait, but how? Because you can still message people on, you know, platforms, gaming platforms, et cetera. I would say, you know, when you're a parent of a second or third grader, you are blissfully unaware. Like, your biggest concern might be like, should they play Minecraft or not? Like, oh, well, you know, like, now let's go have snack time. But it's coming. It's coming with a force that you cannot even imagine. And it's hard because then all of a sudden you're in it. And then you're in crisis mode. Instead of being prepared, you're in, oh my gosh, damage control. What do we do?
Right.
So just be aware. Be aware that it's coming. Have a plan. Don't be afraid to wait. Make sure your kid knows that you're a safe place. Mm. They can talk to you about anything and you will remain calm and you'll navigate it. And it's not going to be easy, but you can do it and you can lean on Courtney and I and every other parent that's going through it right there with you.
So good. All right, last little bit. I'd love you to encourage us. I think you said it before, but don't be afraid to say sorry and say I messed up. And, you know, I did that with one app I let my girls have too soon. I said, you know what? Y'all aren't ready yet. I made a mistake. I'm pulling it back.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you want to end?
I was going to say, you know, it's so first of all, the like, please don't be afraid to say you're sorry, walk it back. You know, I let my son have TikTok in sixth grade. We were in a pandemic. He is an only child. I was like, oh, cool. He can like create videos and connect with friends. Bad idea. Bad idea. Big red flag, don't do it button. And I had to go to him and say like, hey, I made a mistake. This isn't good for you. I'm sorry. You're not going to be happy with me, but this is what we're doing. So don't be afraid to walk it back. Parents aren't perfect.
Awesome.
And then I was going to also say, if your child has encountered something tough, right? Whether it's a tricky person, mental health issue, bullying, whatever, it's okay that you don't have all the answers or know how to handle it. Because there are professionals out there, that's their profession, right? So if you are worried, don't sit on it, don't wait, don't hesitate. If your child is having issues with sleep, either more than usual or less than usual, their grades, their behavior changes in some way, their appetite changes, they're not hanging out with the same group that they used to, they seem agitated, like any little thing that you think might not be okay with your child. And if you go to them and they don't talk to you, again, you're not a bad parent. A lot of kids just don't like to talk to their kids, to their parents, even if y'all have a great relationship. So that whole ramble is to say, please reach out to your child's pediatrician. Mm-hmm. Please reach out to the school counselor or therapist. Please do not hesitate. There is no stigma to Google child psychiatrist, licensed marriage and family therapist. Get the help from the professionals who deal with this every day, because you might think you're all alone, right? It's not like I'm going to go on Facebook right now and be like, hey, my kid's struggling with this. Does anybody know like who can help with this, right? That's not going to be a public status update you're going to see from me. But I guarantee you, I could probably throw a rock and hit five houses that are dealing with something, right?
Yes.
So go to the professionals.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's exactly the question I was looking for, which is about the, like you said, trust your gut and looking for, you know, my kids, I can tell when they're withdrawn, when they're quiet, when they're not as friendly, when they don't want to engage with us. There's so many things that I've learned over time are kind of those hot buttons when I think they've had too much. And we need to, you know, have the courage to pull back. But this was amazing. I literally could hug your face through the camera. Your work is so important. And I'm just grateful that Bark has decided to jump into something that's super complicated and helps millions of parents. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And please stay in touch. And if parents reach out and they're like, help, I need help with this, like connect us. Let's get through this together.
Love it. Okay. Final reminder. If you guys skipped past this in the beginning, I get it. I listen to podcasts too. I typically fast forward through things when I'm ready to get to the meat of the conversation, but I don't want you to miss that there is a new and free resource that we put together at Christian Parenting all about technology. It's called Technology Simplified. All you have to do is go put your email in and your name, and we will give you an email back with this resource that is packed. The team has spent so much work compiling all the podcasts and videos and articles on all these topics that have to do with technology, from phones to social media to parental controls and all of that. And so I know it's overwhelming, but maybe you can scroll through there, see the current issue that you and your family are battling with and get some perspective and some guidance in that area. And then honestly, pray and make the best decision that you can with the information that you have. And just know that it's probably going to change. Every season in our home, we have new rules. Sometimes I take things back and say, hey, I went too far. We need to come back. But I want you to feel encouraged that you're not alone in this area. It is a tough and complex thing to manage as parents right now, but you're not alone. We've got your back at Christian Parenting, and we hope that you are blessed with this resource. So go to christianparenting.org/technology-guide. One more time, christianparenting.org/technology-guide for your free copy of Technology Simplified. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.